Hi, this is Local Matters with Jeremy Wendt. I'm here with Derek Potter, Dr. Derek Potter from the STEM Center at Tennessee Tech University, to talk a little bit about education and some local information. So if you would, Dr. Potter, introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about what you do.
Okay, I'm Derek Potter. I'm currently serve as the director of the Oakley STEM Center. I'm also an assistant professor in the Department of Exercise Science in the College of Education. Been at Tennessee Tech for since 2018 when I took over as interim director at the STEM Center, and in 2019 I took over as director. And so it's been a great experience so far. I love Tech. I got my bachelor's degree from Tech in the 90s, and it's just great to be home.
Sure, sounds good. Well, so that sounds like the 90s, got your undergrad in the 90s, so a roundabout way. How does one become the director of the STEM Center? What does that look like on a application?
Yeah, it was a bit of a roundabout story. I got my bachelor's degree from Tech in 1994 and in civil engineering, and I accepted a civil engineering job for a company out of Chicago, and they had a branch office in Clarksville, so I worked there for a few years and started thinking that, you know, maybe I'd really like to teach at the collegiate level. And I was accepted for a graduate research assistantship at Vanderbilt and went to get my master's in structural engineering. And when I was finishing that, we had our daughter, Kenzie, and I think I was making $900 a month then at Vanderbilt. And we wanted my wife to be able to stay home for a while with our daughter. And so I decided to go back into practicing engineering and took a job in Tulsa and then later in Pennsylvania. And so we moved to Pennsylvania and around 1999, when our daughter was 1 year old, and worked for a firm there, and a couple of years later decided to open my own firm in Pennsylvania, Harbor Engineering. And so ran the firm until 2010, and at that time we started feeling a pull to come back home to be closer to family. And so I sold my engineering firm to my employees, and it's still going strong, which is a source of pride for me, I guess, in some ways, not that I've been that involved with it the last 15 years. But as part of going through the transition period, I still had that desire to teach and got my teaching license. And then I taught at Smith County for a year. And then I was at Jackson County for about 5 years teaching math and science and some engineering courses. And at that time, I was still really thinking about wanting to teach in college. And while I was in Pennsylvania, I taught some engineering courses for Penn State at Harrisburg and York College, and just really had a great experience with that. And so I was deciding to go back to get my PhD, and I was kind of balancing, do I go into education or do I go into engineering? And decided to go into education and went through the exceptional learning program in the College of Education at Tennessee Tech with a focus on program planning and evaluation, and finished that up. And in the meantime, the director position at the STEM Center came open, and while going through my doctoral program, you know, I got an additional master's in STEM education, and you know, it just seemed like a good fit, and I was able to move into that interim role, and just, you know, fell in love with what the STEM Center does and the impact it can have in the region, and so I've been there ever since.
That's awesome. That's a fun story. For listeners, you know, you think about the difference. People know Tennessee Tech has the College of Education and the College of Engineering, but it's not often that you hear people talk about those two working together.
Yes.
Which is actually very common to those of us that are on campus. We know that there's a lot of collaboration. And one of the areas that is very interesting in your story is making that leap from engineering over to education.
Yes.
And it's a big deal. We have a lot of people who make that leap. Talk a little bit about that and what that looks like, coming from industry and jumping into a high school classroom teaching math, correct?
Yes. You know, when I got to Smith County, I was actually teaching a class called Principles of Technology, and I kind of taught that all day long when I was at Smith County. And then when I moved to Jackson County, I was, you know, more focused on mathematics, and we had some engineering courses. But, you know, I'll be honest, the first day when I walked into that high school classroom, I was terrified. You know, I mean, am I going to be able to handle the students? Am I going to be able to do a good job? And, you know, fortunately, my wife has been an educator since the early 90s, and she was able to be a great support for me and give me advice. And then the people I was working with were all great, and they're always willing to give time. That's the great thing about teachers is that, you know, it's kind of a very collaborative, you know, group, I believe. But, Yeah, it was a bit of a terrifying experience, and there were days that I would come home and just feel awesome. Just say this is the best decision. There were days I came home and I thought this is a really tough job, and but it was a bit of a transition for sure.
Yeah. And teaching, it's one of those things where we see people come from industry, and they have that passion that they want to make a difference in kids' lives, and some people, don't know how to make that leap. I think it's fun that you've made that leap over into the classroom, and obviously we encourage people to do that, especially if you're at that point in your career where, I really feel like I've got this skill set, like with your engineering, and I could really make a difference, make an impact in public schools. It's service. It's a service to the community and to the profession.
It is. And, one of the things when I was, making that decision to move out of engineering and into education, I just felt like that I could make more of an impact being a teacher than I could and, being an engineer or on an engineering firm. And I know I was making an impact with my employees and being able to help them support their families and all of our clients that we were serving with their project that we were helping them out with. But, I just felt like I could maybe make more of an impact at the end of the day. And I haven't looked back a single time since then.
Yeah. And that's fun to hear. And it's a more common story than not. It's actually, we see a lot of it, especially today, with the number of people coming through our post-bac and job embedded programs.
Yes.
So speaking of teaching, so I know I framed this question for you. Yep. Tell me about, because I'm a teacher at heart, education major, a lot of educators in the family. Who was that educator somewhere along the way, kindergarten, first grade, college? Somebody made an impact on you that made you think about teaching.
Yeah, and I was really fortunate. I had, great teachers all throughout my schooling. And I guess it really goes back to my mom. She was a teacher for over 30 years and was a classroom teacher. Then she was ultimately a principal. And, I saw her and I saw her interact with the students. And we'd go out to the store and students would come up to her and tell her what a difference they had made. And, that was really impactful. As far as like teachers, thinking of a specific one, my earliest one probably is Miss Colleen Brown, who was a third grade teacher. And, going in there, you talk to students and they're thinking, oh, if you can get Miss Colleen, that's who you want to get. And, I was fortunate enough to get her. And she was just, so caring and patient. And I guess we learned to write in cursive. I don't know if they teach that anymore in elementary. But so that was a bit of a, a bit of a success, that. And then, thinking of other teachers, really probably one of the most impactful teachers that I may have had was a faculty member I had at Tech getting my civil engineering degree, Noel Tolbert. And he's retired now, and I keep hoping I'll see him out somewhere. But, he was a pretty strict teacher. I remember that, if you were 1 second late, he would lock the door and you wouldn't get in. But, the great thing is he had very clear expectations. He had, real world experience that he brought to the classroom. And I just learned so much from him. And, he's one of the reasons that I thought that, I think I would like to really teach at college someday.
Yeah, it's fun to have those. And everybody has that teacher somewhere along the way that really inspired them and helped them think about the path they wanted to go on or corrected them, redirected them.
Yes.
Sometimes that's a fun teacher story. So I intend over the course of these interviews, anybody that sits across from me is going to have to tell me who their favorite teacher was or a favorite teacher at some point.
Yeah.
One of mine early on was my first grade teacher, Ms. Margaret. And Ms. Margaret, I think she had been there, at least 100 years when I had her and was there, a lot longer. And so always had that impact along the way.
You say that how old you thought she were. With Miss Colleen, my third grade teacher, she seemed like she was maybe 80 years old. But now that I'm, in my 50s, looking back, she was probably in her 40s or 50s at the time. But, I have very fond memories of her and, all of my teachers growing up.
For sure. For sure. So we'll pivot just a little bit and then we'll get into another segment in just a second. But the STEM Center. So let's talk about the STEM Center a little bit. And I know that you have a long history with it. And gosh, going back to when I was starting in the College of Education, it was being worked on. It was being built. And so tell me a little bit. Let's talk a little bit about the idea behind the STEM Center and why it's there, especially for those, anyone listening who's not familiar with it or has heard the name, and us being technological university, Tennessee Tech. It's a big deal to have it here.
Yeah, I think we're really fortunate in the Upper Cumberland to have the Oakley STEM Center. Just a little bit of history. In 2010, the Tennessee Department of Education partnered with Battelle to launch this Tennessee STEM Innovation Network, and you'll hear it called TSIN by a lot of people. And the intent of TSIN was to focus on kindergarten to jobs by developing high-quality STEM programming to ensure that Tennessee students were prepared for success in college and career and ready for the future of their choosing. The network, it utilizes regional STEM innovation hubs and STEM-designated schools located across Tennessee to increase student interest and participation in STEM fields. And the Oakley STEM Center is one of seven of the designated regional STEM innovation hubs in Tennessee. And we're actually still the only one of the seven to have our own building, which is the Oakley STEM Center. And it's actually also known as Ray Morris Hall at Tennessee Tech. We're located right beside the Burn, the new fitness center on campus. And it's a 26,000 square foot building. And, you know, it was designed with innovation in mind. If you walk through the lobby, you'll see like a DNA strand in the tile work on the floor. And we've got four learning studios in it. One of the learning studios is set up for like wet sciences, where we've got the, you know, the water access and gas access for like, think about biology and chemistry. Another is set up for like more like a physics type of environment. One is set up that's a carpeted classroom for mathematics. We've got one room set up for early childhood. We've got a large auditorium and a lobby that's set up where we can move tables around. So when we have student field trips, you know, it's very flexible to be able to meet needs. But yeah, it's a great facility. We have students in there every week from around the region, and we're really proud of it, and really proud of the things that the STEM Center's done and has been doing for, I guess, close to 15 years now in the region.
Yeah, a lot of moving parts. We're going to take a short break, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit more about the STEM Center.
Okay, sounds great.
Hi, welcome back to Local Matters with Dr. Derek Potter, the director of the Oakley STEM Center at Tennessee Tech University. I'm Jeremy Wendt, your host for the day. And we were talking about the STEM Center before we went to break, so let's pick back up on that conversation and talk about a few things. I know that when I go by the STEM Center, I see the STEM Mobile, and that's exciting. And I know a lot of schools are excited about that. What's the STEM Mobile?
So the STEM Mobile is a 53-foot enclosed trailer. We have to get it moved by a hauling trucking company. But inside the trailer, we've got six workstations, and the workstations are stainless steel tops, and they're adjustable in height, so we can, you know, serve, you know, the smaller to larger, taller students. And we can take that and deliver it to schools throughout the region or businesses. And then they can manage it while it's on site, and it's outfitted with a lot of different items from our lending library that can support high-quality STEM resources to support STEM learning. And so a lot of times a typical model is it will go out to a school for a week. It'll get dropped off on a Monday. There will be a teacher at the school who's kind of responsible for it and trained in its operation. And they will have it set up where they can set different hands-on activities at the learning stations of the STEM Mobile, and they can cycle their classrooms through it. And then the students get to have access to some resources, you know, items that they may not normally typically have access to. And so it's been really successful. Another model that it's been used for in the past is the College of Engineering has a College of Engineering Ambassador Program, and several years ago they would work with different industry partners, maybe like even Eastman, and they would bring it to their place of business, and then schools would bus students in, and so the STEM Mobile could be set up and students could go through it and participate in the hands-on activities and maybe even tour the business while they're there to give them a little bit of idea of maybe some future career job opportunities.
Okay. Sounds like a great outreach. I'm a first grader. And I'm in Overton County Schools, and the STEM Mobile is outside my school. And I walk in, what happens? What do they get? What kind of activities? What kind of hands-on fun stuff is available?
Yeah, well, we've got all types of different building activities, like Connect sets, where they can build models that have magnets on the ends of the, you know, the ends of the parts. We've got all types of different robotics that are, you know, that we can start from students as young as 3 years old all the way up to high school. So, you know, depending on what level they're at, we've got materials and resources to provide that. So that's why a lot of times we'll touch base with the school to see, you know, get their teachers to tell us what they want to do with it, and then we can kind of customize that, you know, from resources we have in our lending library.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's fun. And especially for those, you know, teachers, educators, districts that are listening and they've heard of it a little bit, but they're not sure what it is or how to get it. So I imagine it stays booked a lot of the time.
It has been. We just finished when COVID hit. You know, of course, it was shut down for quite a while because it's such an enclosed environment. And even after that, and we kind of took that opportunity to go through a renovation project on it. And so it just recently came off of about a $60,000 renovation where we upgraded electronics, we upgraded tables, added lights, got a new wrap on it, so it looks great right now. But if right now it's been heavily being used by CROC, which is the Cyber Security Education Research and Outreach Center at Tech, and they'll take it to different places, different schools, and let students go through and talk about cybersecurity and let them get some hands-on experience with that. But we have been getting more and more schools reach out again, and so the process is to you can go on our website and there's a link for the STEMmobile, and you can submit a request form. And it'll ask for some desired dates, and then somebody from the STEM Center will get back to them and say, okay, well, this date may be available, and then they can start coordinating what the trip looks like.
Perfect. Yeah. It sounds like fun. I know that I've seen it in action a few times, and the students are always very excited.
Yes.
It's an exciting thing to, you know, for Tennessee Tech to be able to send out to the communities.
Yes.
It's a great outreach.
You know, when I was at Jackson County, I remember that we got the STEMmobile one time, and, you know, all the students were so excited to hear that the STEMmobile's coming. And so it definitely generates a lot of excitement for the schools. And, you know, it's fun now that we've got students that are at Tech that were in school that got to experience the STEMmobile and get to talk to them about it and, you know, even getting some feedback. You know, what do you remember about it? Is there something that you remember about it that would have been made it a better experience, and so it's just a lot of fun.
Awesome, yeah, it's a very cool piece, certainly. So what else do you have going on at STEM Center? I know there's a lot of moving parts, a lot of grants, a lot of teachers, a lot of field trips.
Yes, there's a lot going on. We had a student field trip today where we had about 80 students that came in. We usually have we average probably a student field trip to the STEM Center every week, sometimes more than that. And we call them STEM expeditions. And so a school district will request a date and time. And if we can accommodate it, we'll set it up. They typically get there around 9 o'clock in the morning. And we'll have usually two to three hands-on activities. We usually have one building activity, one robotics activity. And in the STEM Center, we've got what we call our virtual theater. It's kind of like a mini IMAX. And we can set about 35 people in that, and so we'll usually show an educational 3D film where they get to put on the 3D glasses and see it. And so the students will come in and we'll break them into three groups, and then they will go and work on their hands-on activities, and they'll rotate. So by the end of the time period, they'll get through all the activities, and then they'll have lunch in our lobby. Typically, they'll bring it in. Sometimes they'll order pizzas, and every once in a while, they'll take the students over to the cafeteria and let them eat over there, which is always really exciting for the students. But so those are what we call STEM expeditions. We've also got, I mentioned our lending library a couple times for the STEMmobile. And so we've got a lending library, which is about 7,000, over 7,000 STEM educational resource items, such as robotics, such as microscopes, dissection kits, pretty much everything you can think of. And so teachers and even parents that are doing homeschooling or parents who just want some additional supports, they can become a member of the lending library, which is basically just going through a online training session, which doesn't take very long. Once you complete the session, you're a member, and then you can check out items from the lending library free of charge. And we usually let people keep them up to 2 weeks if they need that. If they need it longer, we can work something out with them. But you know, that's been a really great resource for the region for many, many years. Actually, about 2 years ago, we received $400,000 worth of funding to establish 14 satellite lending library hubs, because what we were seeing with our lending library is that the farther the distance people were from Tech, where the lending library is located, the less it was getting used, because the travel times just becomes an obstacle. And so with this funding, we were able to establish 14 satellite lending library hubs in 14 of our regional school districts, and they have their own items from the lending library that their teachers can then lease, you know, free of charge from their district and return it there. So it kind of eliminates that travel obstacle. And so that's been a very good project for us. And so we're seeing a lot more usage of our lending library materials just because now it's a little bit more distributed. But we still have our home lending library, which is we're trying to add to it every year, and we're always requesting teachers, hey, if there's something that you're seeing that's really making an impact on student learning, and let us know. Maybe we can add it to the lending library when we get funding to do so.
Yeah, and sometimes it's just a matter of teachers knowing.
Yes.
You know, I've found just in conversations, some teachers know and they've used it, and then other teachers, they say, lending what?
Yeah.
You know, they just don't know that it's there. And it's good information that the community, you know, we do have a large homeschool population, and so that's, you know, good information for the community to know that that's a possibility too.
Yes, that's
for
a great point.
Community members to come and check that out.
Yes,
along the way. Yeah. So I know I want to hear about Safari Saturday and Fab Friday, but we got to take a short break, and so we'll jump out and we'll be right back to talk a little more about it.
Okay, sounds great.
Welcome back to Local Matters. I'm Jeremy Wendt, and my guest today is Dr. Derek Potter, director of the Oakley STEM Center. So we were just talking a little bit about some of the things that the STEM Center has to offer. And Safari Saturdays and Fab Fridays are one of the most popular events. I know that I've been there with my children, and it is popular. There's a lot of people there.
It is. We've had upwards of 400 to 500 people come in at one of those events, and they're outstanding. There's a couple of faculty member in curriculum and instruction and College of Education, Dr. Jennifer Meadows and Dr. Jane Baker, who have kind of always managed those events, and they'll work with their students to design the activities and then facilitate the events. We've got two events you mentioned, Fab Fridays and Safari Saturdays. And so Safari Saturdays happen on Saturdays, usually from 9 in the morning to around 12. And they're geared more towards like pre-K to third grade. And then Fab Fridays are held on Fridays, and they're usually from like 5 to 8. And they're focused more on like third to eighth grade students. And so during the events, the entire STEM Center is set up. The lobby, all the learning studios are set up with hands-on activities. And so when the student gets there with their parent or guardian, they'll get like a little ticket or a passport. And as they go through the different activities, they'll work through the hands-on activities with them and with their parents. And once they complete them, they'll get like a stamp or a sticker. And when they get through all the activities, they'll come bring it up and they'll get a small prize. And but it's great because you see a lot of the same students come through with their families, and you can always tell they just run up and they know exactly where to go. And you know, it's just such excitement. And you know, they've always, each Fab Friday and Safari Saturday has a different theme to generate interest. Like so far this year, on September 14th, we had STEM Olympics, which was a Safari Saturday. On October 25th, we had Mad Science Mania STEM. And so we've got two more coming up over the next month. One is Money Makerspace, which is going to happen on November 9th. That's a Safari Saturday. And then we've got in our STEM error. I was reading off this. In our STEM error, it's a Fab Friday, and that's going to be on November 22nd.
Okay.
Yeah, and so it's free. Fun. Yeah, they're free to the community, and they're great events. And if you haven't been to one, I definitely highly recommend.
You should. And what I would liken it to would be similar to the Adventure Science Center. I know when I've taken my children to the Adventure Science Center and then come to one of these events, it reminds me of it. I mean,
yes.
There's so many fun hands-on learning activities, and the kids are very excited.
Yes.
Beside themselves. And usually the adults get wrapped up in the fun also.
They do.
So it would be a great event.
Yeah.
So, well, good. Thanks for sharing about those. And you've got, I know you've got a few other things going on. What else do you have at the STEM Center?
So
many moving parts.
There's a lot of moving parts. You know, we over the past year, we've also acquired a planetarium. And so it's a fairly large planetarium. And, you know, the idea is that we can maybe take it to schools and they can set it up in their gymnasium and bring students through. And you know, with that, they're, you know, you can even go to Google Earth and zoom in on their actual school. You can look at, you know, different galaxies, different planets, moons. It's a great it's going to be a great resource. We plan to try to work with some faculty in the Department of Physics and the Department of Curriculum Instruction to try to really pull together some really good programming. And, you know, ideally at the, you know, in the next 6 months to a year, we'll have the planetarium and we'll have like a menu item that schools or teachers can look at and say, okay, well, this aligns with the standards we're wanting to cover with this age group of students. And then we can set it up and, you know, be able to provide that type of service. So we're excited about the planetarium moving forward.
That's excellent. Sounds like fun. Now can you see Elon Musk's Starlink satellites?
That's a good question. I don't know. I haven't seen them, but that's not to say we can't.
Okay. Sometimes they show up. People think they're aliens.
Yes.
By the way, and they're not. You can get on the website and find out when they're passing by.
Yeah. Well, that's a funny story. My daughter was getting married a couple of years ago. During the rehearsal dinner, one of the string of satellites were going through, and like everybody's looking up there and saying, "What is that? Are we being invaded?" You know, and come to find out, that's what it was. But it's exciting.
So we can help with that a little bit with education. We can help the students learn about the solar system through the planetarium.
Yes, definitely.
So, very good. Well, it's a lot of good information about the STEM Center. Let's change gears.
Yes,
you like how I did that?
I did. That's good.
Change gears for just a minute and talk about the Gear Up Grant, which, correct me if I'm wrong, is the second largest grant in Tennessee Tech's history.
Yes, that's my understanding.
That's a big deal. A big deal. Out of the College of Education,
yes,
I might add. So we're proud of that fact. So you are the principal investigator,
yes,
on the project. So tell us a little bit about it. What is it?
Yeah, and you know, with the grant, there's two other principal investigators, Dr. Julie Baker, and then Dr. Luke Anderson. And Dr. Baker is currently serving as assistant provost, associate provost, and Dr. Anderson is a instructor in curriculum instruction. But Gear Up stands for Gaining Early Awareness and Readiness for Undergraduate Programs, and it's one of the largest programs that is focused on increasing the college and career readiness of low-income students in communities nationwide. It is a highly competitive grant program, and it helps to empower local partnerships comprised of school districts, institutions of higher education, state agencies, and community organizations to achieve basically three strategic goals. And those goals are to increase post-secondary expectations and readiness of students, improve high school graduation and post-secondary enrollment rates, and raise the knowledge of post-secondary options, preparation, and financing for not only the students but their families as well. And so we're super excited that we were selected to be awarded this grant, and we can't wait to start providing the Gear Up services. We just found out about our award less than 2 months ago, and so we've been going through the process of hiring an executive director for the program who will manage the program. We're just super excited about it.
So I know that it impacts several Upper Cumberland counties. Let's say I'm a school district in one of those counties, Scott County.
Yes,
is that one of the counties.
Yes, Scott. Scott County will. Oneida Special School District in Scott County.
Okay.
They're one of our districts. Warren County is one of our districts. Overton County is one of our districts, and then Clay County is our fourth district. So we've got four districts that are participating, and the program is a 7-year program, and it will follow the current 6th and 7th grade cohorts in those schools for the next 7 years. So the 7th grade cohort, it will actually continue to provide services through their first year of college. It's going to be a really exciting project.
So on the ground, so I'm a 7th grader today. I'm in Warren County, 6th grader, 7th grader. What does that look like for me moving forward through middle school, high school? What kind of services will I see from the grant?
Yes. In addition to the executive director, we're also going to be hiring an assistant director, and they'll both be housed at the Oakley STEM Center at Tech. And we're also hiring what we're calling a college access advisor for each one of the school districts. And those college access advisors will be in the school district full time. And they'll solely be responsible for working with that 6th and 7th grade cohort of students. And so next year, they'll be working with the 7th and 8th grade cohort, 8th and 9th grade, and so on and so forth. So they'll be able to develop really, I think, special relationships with each of the students and be able to kind of know the students and help guide the students. But as far as services, in addition to just having access to an advisor that's specifically focused on you, there's going to be a lot of different services. field trips to different college campuses. We're going to have a summer camp program every year at Tech where they get to come to Tech and stay overnight for a night or two and kind of start getting the feeling what it feels like to be a college student and connect the dots. Hey, I can do this, you know, when I get out. But it's just going to be it's going to be a very flexible and dynamic program. And so as we move through it, we'll be working with the districts to try to identify what services can best meet the needs of their students. And then we can, you know, design and be flexible with the program to try to meet those needs. And so it's going to be a great program. In addition to the executive director, assistant director, college access advisors, we're also going to be hiring two graduate assistants that are going to be completely dedicated to students, and a couple of additional higher education partners are Ball State and Roan State, and then TCAT Livingston, and so we'll be hiring students from not only Tech but from Ball State, Roan State, TCAT, that are also going to be able to go into the schools and help to provide tutoring services and even assist the college access advisor, even meeting with students and talking with them and helping to guide them. So the good thing about Gear Up is there is some flexibility there. You identify where the needs are, and you can have some flexibility in how to best address those needs. And we also have what we call an early warning system. And so each student, each of the 1,780 students that will be served by this grant, will be collecting data along the way that you know, looks at things like referrals and absences and scores, and to be able to identify students who maybe need additional supports and then be able to help guide and direct us to how those additional supports can be best applied.
It's a lot to undertake. And I think about, you know, growing up in a rural school system myself, having additional people there to talk about TCAT, talk about college, talk about options, post-secondary opportunities. Yes. And sometimes those get wrapped up. People just say, you know, think university or think college, you know, that doesn't count TCAT and
yes.
community colleges and universities, but it's all post-secondary. You know, we want all students to have that opportunity and just to be exposed to yes. those different concepts.
Yes,
you know,
exactly. It's just to give them the options and the understanding of what's available to them when they graduate, you know, whether they're, you know, maybe they want to go into welding. And so TCAT's got a great welding program, or diesel mechanic, or an engineer, or whatever it may be. We want them to be able to have know what those options are. And so work-based learning is and career opportunities is another thing that Europe focuses on. Just to make sure that the students are aware of what their options are. And so it's going to be an exciting program.
It's good. Well, I appreciate you sharing the information about it. And I think a year or two down the road, there'll be a full conversation
yes.
about the grant and about the impact to the Upper Cumberland, which I think it will have. So that is a big deal.
Yes.
So we've reached the end of our time, so I'm Jeremy Wendt here for Local Matters. I've been talking to Dr. Derek Potter, the director of the Oakley STEM Center at Tennessee Tech University. We appreciate your time, and you have a good one.
Thank you.
Thank you.